Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Eric Holmes.
Woo!
In today's episode, an emerald armored Spartan super soldier guided by an unflappable AI collides with four pizza powered shellback ninja brothers. I'm surprised I said that without spitting, but the night is young. In one corner, you have Master Chief, the stoic Spartan super soldier whose tactical genius and unbreakable resolve have saved humanity from galactic extinction. And in the other corner, you have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, four sewer dwelling mutant brothers who blend razor sharp ninjutsu skills, wisecracking banter, and unwavering brotherhood to defend New York City. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And this match has been discussed a few times, not many, but just a few, which means it's high time this battle got the Who Would Win Unleashed treatment. Eric, I have to know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
Yeah, you already know, man. The amazing, awesome, just iconic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, this is going to be so much fun. Repping them. Cannot wait.
I'm noticing some favoritism towards the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles over Master Chief. Is that correct?
That is spot on.
Okay. Why such favoritism? Why do you like that franchise better than anything Master Chief has done?
I mean, you just can't beat it. I mean, these guys are superstars, and which I'm going to get into some specifics about how phenomenal they are.
Now, I've seen some of your photos, not on Instagram, but on your iCloud account that I hacked into, and there's questionable stuff you're doing as a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. You seem to like Leonardo the most, but you have a little bit of a penchant for Raphael. Are you as violent as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, I mean, I try to, like, do what they do, you know what I'm saying? Why not?
You live in a sewer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Roll around a bit, you know, a little late night, sewage parties. I know some nice...
Sorry, kids at home.
You ever party with a bunch of plumbers? Those guys can party.
Wow. No, I have not. All right, so... I didn't really get a clear reason why you liked. I was about to say, like, maybe you liked them as a kid. It was your favorite animated series. You love the comic book, you know, variations. Got none of that, actually. Just got some really not so wholesome
answer
about
you
hanging out with plumbers in a sewer.
Gotta sit and wait. Sit and wait. You'll see.
More on that story at 11. All right. Let's just see what the judge has to say about this. Making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show is one of the brilliant minds behind We Play Studios. It's Josh Smith. Josh, welcome to Who Would Win Unleashed.
Josh.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm very excited for hearing your matchup and how you see it playing out.
Well, you know, before we get into the specifics here, let's talk about We Play Studios. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, a little bit about We Play and how you're involved.
We Play Studios is a Ukrainian production company. We opened a facility here in, well, now our second facility here in LA, specifically in Inglewood now. We started over in Playa Vista, but we have a very, very large venue with multiple studios, including a 30,000 square foot event space, massive arena equipped with AR, the ability to do set extensions, different augmentations, floating, you know, simple stuff. Like floating
just basic
monsters,
stuff,
just basic, you know,
dragons, you know, stuff like that
around the house,
you know. But if you want to get simpler, just sort of like NFL red zone style things floating around, moving around, really, really cool, fancy stuff. I will say, if you couldn't guess already by me using the term fancy stuff, that is operated by folks that are not myself. However, I suppose to bring it down short, we are a primarily Ukrainian production company. Based out of here in LA, we used to be mainly esports, so competitive video games such as Counter-Strike, Dota 2, Genshin Impact. We've done many, many, many games. We relocated to LA and sort of redirected a little bit. I would say more expanded than redirected, but we've gotten more into linear media, such as shows like The Pilot that you, James...
What? I did.
Wrote, ideated, directed, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah.
Vox Magna. I'm also in it. So, you know, no bias.
There you go.
But no, so we've, since we moved to LA, we've gotten into much more linear media, trying to move towards movies, television, commercials, things along those lines, more than just strictly esports. But we do basically everything. We're based out of Inglewood, and... yeah, shoot me a call if you have ideas.
Well, here's the thing. So I've luckily been able to work with a lot of different production companies and studios and had some good experience in LA in the entertainment industry. I will say that We Play is by far the best studio I've ever had the honor to work with. For those out there, just in case you're wondering, this is a production company and a studio, a group of people that came to the United States with no connections whatsoever, kicked so much butt that their first real show was with the NFL. I mean, how do you come to the United States? Well, the way you do it is just you come with a lot of talent, a lot of great minds, a work ethic that is unparalleled. And again, I've been lucky enough to do a couple of projects with WePlay. What a great experience each time to do it. I am so happy that you guys are here. And, you know, from when I talked to other people in LA, they are super excited you're here too. A lot of people are saying, you know, entertainment's leaving Los Angeles. WePlay is bringing it back in a very big way.
Nice.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you very much for that, James. I appreciate it. That's kind of what we're trying to do. We really enjoy having this much larger space now. We just opened this one up. We built it between December to mid-January, I think, for at least one of our space, you know, just our 30,000 square foot.
Yeah,
space.
Just that, the smallest space.
But, you know, the other ones we've had set up over the past couple months, but in just that amount of time, as well as the time that we had in Playa Vista, we've put on, I don't even know, 50 plus live shows. We're aiming to do more. And it is really, really fantastic. I mean, in terms of, or from my perspective, I suppose, the entertainment's not going anywhere.
Absolutely not. Nope. In fact, it'll be coming back. And actually, I pitched a project that is now moving forward that we discussed. And all I had to do was say, by the way, WePlay Studios would be a great place to do XYZ there. Once they saw what WePlay could do, they're like, we're in, sold. So just put it out there. Expect great things from WePlay. Check out their current show with the NFL, NFL Offsides. Correct. And you can see that on the NFL's YouTube channel every Tuesday where it's streamed live. It's an awesome show. Lots of fun. Check it out. But with that being said, it's time we get to this battle.
Let's get to it.
All right.
You can also see every episode on DAZN.
And DAZN.
There you go.
Love it. Love it. I always thought it was DAZN at first, but it's DAZN.
DAZN.
DAZN. You can also watch them all on DAZN.
On DAZN.
There you go. All right, I love it. Now, before we get to the battle, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. And number one, now each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal, with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, the bottom line in a who would win match is that for one side to get the win, their opponent must be somehow incapacitated for a minimum of 2 minutes where they pose no threat whatsoever. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit sayword.co/collections. That's sayword.co/collections. And click on Who Would Win merch on the Who Would Win merch section to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies, and our very own proprietary 3D printed Who Would Win versus stand. And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Eric, please give us the details for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Let's do it. Cowabunga in quadruple form. These sewer slick brothers, each named after a Renaissance legend, but powered by 80s, baby. You know I love them 80s. You know y'all love the 80s. An 80s skateboard attitude flipped from pizza box to rooftop in a blur of bow, Psy, nunchucks, and twin katanas, turning Manhattan's underbelly into their own dojo of justice, mentored by a zen-wise rat sensei and fueled by extra cheese optimism. They outwit mad scientists, mystic ninjas, and alien brain blobs without missing a punchline. I give you the family, the teamwork, and late-night pizza slices that can thrash even the nastiest city grime. I am repping the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and that is my introduction of this amazing, trio. Not trio, quadruple, whatever.
Quartet?
It's a quartet.
Thank you.
Josh, you're the judge of this. How do you feel already knowing you had to correct Eric on the term trio to quartet? Well, honestly, that can't bode well for the scoring.
Give it to me, Josh.
You know, James, here's the thing. Like, I think being pointed before giving your own points is a little aggressive. However, you do have a point. You do have a point there.
Thank you. Aggressive. So I'll continue, Josh.
I'll see how you... You see, now Eric just dug himself a pit again. He was doing great being on, the side. Just the good man, the quiet man. we talked about this in the past. Let's see.
That's fair. Now, here are the details for Master Chief. Meet the galaxy's quietest living myth, the armored Spartan who answers to Chief and lets his MA5 rifle finish the introductions, a battlefield ghost who's toppled alien prophets, outraced planet-shattering rings, and still finds time to swap dry quips with an AI that's half-conscious, half-co-pilot. Where others see no-win scenarios, he sees side quests. Where Covenant warships loom, he's already plotting boarding angles. He's the last Spartan out of the cryo tube, the first into the breach, and the taciturn linchpin, that's right, I use words like that, taciturn linchpin of humanity's greatest How Are We Not Dead victories, exactly the kind of legend tailor-made for the Who Would Win Unleashed showdowns. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Josh, do you have any questions before we get started?
You said 2 minutes of incapacitation, right?
That's correct. So whatever happens, let's say Eric and I are doing jiu-jitsu, right? Mm-hmm. Which happens. He joined the Relentless Martial Arts program and is doing jiu-jitsu now. And let's say he and I are going at it. He's going as hard as he can. I barely am doing anything because I'm just having fun. I choke him out. He's on the ground unconscious for 2 minutes. During those 2 minutes, I can do whatever I want, a victory dance. I can read a book. I can call his mom, whatever it is. And he can't do a thing to me. I get the win. But if it's under 2 minutes and he wakes up, I didn't quite get the victory.
All right. Interesting context to use there to explain that. But I understand.
I have more.
I think I got it so far. So let's hear what this Master Chief exposition sounds like. All right.
Well, let's start with Eric. Eric, hit us with your point number one.
Yeah, not fond of sleeping around that guy. Anyways, point number one. Let's get into the turtle, some important stuff. All right. First, I'm going to introduce you guys to Leonardo. He's the one with the blue bandana. All right. He's the team's focused leader and the most disciplined of the bunch, wielding dual katanas, a strategist at heart. He's all about honor and responsibility. His big fighting accomplishment, in one epic comic arc, Leo took on the Shredder single-handedly, showcasing why he's the backbone of the Turtles. Next, let's get into Raphael. He's the one with the red bandana, just in case you guys forgot, just, giving a name to the face, right? Raphael is a resident hothead. He relies on his twin Psy and his fists when tempers flare. Though he clashes with Leo often, his love for family runs deep. His big fighting accomplishment. In several stories, Ralph has fought off entire squads of the Foot Clan on his own, proving sheer grit can carry the day. Next, Donatello is the one with the purple bandana. All right, the brains of the group. Donnie's genius with tech and gadgets is unrivaled. His bow staff might seem simple, but he uses smarts and skills to outmaneuver foes. His big fighting accomplishment, he once engineered a device to neutralize Krang's advanced weaponry, turning a hopeless battle into a major victory. Michelangelo has an orange bandana, the fun-loving jokester, Mikey's lighthearted energy and nunchaku skills keep enemies guessing. He's the morale booster, cracking jokes in the face of danger. His big fighting accomplishment during a showdown against the Triceratons in various adaptations, Mikey's unorthodox moves and quick thinking help secure a crucial win, reminding everyone never to underestimate the party dude. And James, that's my point number one.
All right, so here's the thing. When I look at the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and I say, okay, have they taken on an opponent like Master Chief? I can say no. They've taken on very powerful opponents that have some elements that are similar to Master Chief's, but have they ever faced someone with the entire package that Master Chief brings to the table? I don't think so, and that's going to be a problem for him. So now, for my point number one, let me talk about just the physicality of Master Chief. Now, Master Chief has superhuman strength. Thanks to that Spartan 2 augmentation program and that Mjolnir armor, he can flip over vehicles called Warthogs. I think they weigh several tons, and he does that with relative ease. In the games, you'll see him toss the Covenant aliens around like they're lightweights. He's got enhanced speed and reflexes, and he can sprint fast and react quicker than any normal human. I'd actually put him at like Captain America level for that, which means it's barely superhuman, but still superhuman. In intense Halo firefights, he's dodging plasma bolts, he's outmaneuvering the elites, and all while returning fire with like really crazy good accuracy at the same time. He's got extreme durability. This is the big factor. He's been known to survive brutal impacts and explosions. He endured what's called atmospheric re-entry in Halo 3, which basically means he fell from space, got up, and walked away. You know what hits harder? We talked about this in the Batman and Bruce Lee fight, and Batman actually fell from orbit, hit the ground, and got up and walked away. Well, Master Chief pulled a Batman, and as I said in that same fight, you know what doesn't hit harder than the Earth? Nothing. The Earth will hit you harder than anyone can hit you. Just putting that out there. He's also super smart. Behind that mirrored visor, you know, there's a tactical genius whose mind is kind of going from covert infiltration to, you know, these large-scale battle strategies. He always adapts under pressure, and he's always under pressure, by the way. And he can, you know, it's cool because he can coordinate seamlessly with the allies, or if he has to go solo because that's a change-up in strategy, he's going to do it. He can adapt whatever strategy he needs. He's also got unshakable resolve. Look, the moment he's on a mission, he's like, I'm getting this thing done. I got to put myself in the line of fire. I'm going to do whatever it takes. He's got that willpower. He's game to fight at all times. Look, time and again, when the galaxy needs that hero, that savior, Master Chief is going to step up, physically unmatched and really mentally, what's the right word? Undaunted, I would have to say. That's my point number one. By the way, that's one of the biggest words I know. Undaunted.
Yeah, yeah, I really saw you dig deep for that one. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know you're feeling it. I could notice by your facial expressions here. All right, yeah, so that was a nice introduction of your guy there.
Thank you.
It seems like he's capable of doing a few things, you know. But, yeah, I will get into my next point, but I think we should see what our judge has to say first.
It's a great thing. Okay, so Josh, you've heard one point from both Eric and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Well, I'm a bit conflicted. To be honest, I going into this, I didn't think TMNT had too much of a chance. As much as I love Donnie and Leo and all the boys,
that's right.
I wasn't too hopeful. But Eric, the way that you just rehashed, walked me through all their abilities, how they play off each other, why they play off each other. I started having flashbacks of the old shows and movies, especially the live action ones, the really good ones. And I realized things, you know, gadgets, little EMPs, stuff like that, might be working, because my initial thought, and the reason I was and still might be biased towards you, James, as of this current moment, after this round one, is that I love Master Chief. I've played all of those games, start to finish, on Legendary with my older brother. I am Master Chief for all intents and purposes in this conversation.
It feels so, like he's here in the room, not going to lie.
I personally attached myself to everything you say.
Master Chief's the judge.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I've actually seen you flip cars like it was nothing.
Yeah, Warthogs specifically, which are just, they're just really tiny remote control cars that
but
you
still,
get off Amazon.
You flip the car, you still flip the car.
Twice. That's crazy.
Anyway, to give honest actual, you know, within the context of this competition, I would say thus far, I think Master Chief does have the lead right now, but it is not as hugely significant as I thought. I thought it was going to be a 2-3 point difference on this round one, but I'd say we're within the one range.
Very cool. All right, I like when a battle is super competitive. Great points from the judge, great points from Eric and myself. This battle is heating up. We'll be right back for point number two. And we're back. Eric, let's see what you've got. Hit us for your point number two.
Yeah, so next I want to get into their weapons, training, and ability to work as a team. So this is a weapons overview, okay? So Leonardo, he wields twin katanas built for precision and disciplined strikes, all right? Rafael goes in with his Sai, ideal for close quarters defense and offense. All right. Now, Donatello relies on a bow staff, which is versatile for both reach and blocking, and Michelangelo uses his nunchaku, which require agility and lightning fast reactions. Together, these specialized weapons create a balanced arsenal that covers every range of combat. Next is training with the one and only Master. That's Master Splinter, their mentor, okay? He taught them the art of ninjutsu, stealth, discipline, and situational awareness. Training isn't just physical. Splinter emphasizes honor, brotherhood, and respect for life, which is crucial to how they approach conflicts. They also constantly hone their skills in underground dojos and the streets of New York, adapting to new threats like the Foot Clan, alien invaders, or mutant adversaries. Also, I want to highlight their team dynamics, okay? Each turtle excels in distinct areas. Like I said, leadership, strategy, tech, or morale, which helps them tackle everything from rooftop skirmishes to full-scale battles. They also communicate through quick signals, share plans, and trust, knowing each other's brothers' strength and covering any weaknesses. Their synergy has saved them from countless jams, whether facing Shredder, Krang, or anyone looking to take over the city. When they work together in perfect sync, they're nearly unstoppable. Brothers united by training and loyalty. And James, that's my point number two.
Okay, all great stuff. Can't argue with that, but here's the thing. Horrible story on my part. It was a group training exercise where one person's fighting multiple opponents. This happened back in previous years of training where things were a little insane. And group of four guys, they weren't that well trained, or, you know, and they were coming at me or whatever. And all of them were actually really, really tough. Mm-hmm. And I remember I knocked one down really bad, really hard, thinking, okay, great. Now I've just ticked off all the other three. The reverse happened because they were so tight and such good friends. When I knocked one guy down, they all went to check on him, which made it easier for me to hit the other three while they weren't looking. My point is,
amateurs.
I know.
My amateurs. Point
is, I'm not a nice guy. And secondly, I do think their family bond could be used against them, because all of a sudden, if Leonardo goes down, everyone's like, oh, they'll just go extra angry. That's not how the turtles work. Like, oh no, Leonardo, let's get them out of here. They may battlefield remove themselves because one of their brothers went down extra hard. And yes, I am a jerk in training. I'm just putting that out there. All right, let me get to my point number two. And let's talk about the armor and the firepower of Master Chief. Now, he's got that Mjolnir-powered assault armor. That's his signature suit. And it doesn't want to just look cool, although it does look really cool. This thing amplifies his enhanced strength. He's got built-in energy shields for extra protection and a heads-up display that feeds him real-time intel. Everything from weapons readouts to incoming threats. He's got adaptive capabilities with the armor that can it can seal itself for different environments. And this allows the Master Chief to operate in space or underwater. He's got a weapons arsenal that's insane. We often see him with that MA5 series assault rifle, the BR-55 battle rifle, and that's perfect for mid-range firefights. But he's also skilled with basically everything in the Halo universe, from Covenant plasma rifles to well-timed energy sword for up-close action. What I'm trying to say is, you know, he's got great weapons. He could probably use the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arsenal of weapons as well in a very highly skilled way. He's got grenades and heavy firepower. He's known for well-placed frag and plasma grenades that stick right to enemy forces. This is horrible if he hits one of the turtle shells. I know they're durable, but against a this is horrible frag and plasma grenade, I don't think that's gonna, I think we're having turtle stew. I'm just putting that out there. He's got rocket launchers, Spartan lasers coming to play for maximum damage. This is some bad stuff for the turtles. You know, I love Leonardo blocking stuff with his katana. I don't think it's quite up to snuff for this. And of course, he's got that AI companion, Cortana, and it's more than just an AI helmet. This is something that helps with battlefield analytics. It can hack into enemy systems, sometimes even controls entire spacecraft, and they really share a cool bond that goes beyond soldier and AI, I think. It's just this weird thing, and it gives him like this emotional anchor and a lot of strategy. I know things kind of go a little weird after. I'm just talking about when Cortana is like, you know, ChatGPT at this moment, not when it turns into the Terminator-esque kind of thing ChatGPT is destined to turn into, you know, next week or whenever that is. Look, and he's also great. Change the mission up, whether it's like infiltration or taking out an entire platoon of whatever he's facing. He can do it all. Switch up strategies. This is the ultimate soldier. This is who Captain America wishes he grows up to be someday. That's my point number two.
Okay. This guy has some, some weapons on him, right? The thing that I think where he falls short is, you got to remember, you're dealing with guys who've been living in, like, the sewers of New York, all right? Like, the stuff that's down there, like, you think an explosion or whatever this guy got is going to really like affect their, imagine how their skin, their cells, like the ooze or whatever it's on their skin. Like this stuff is not going to break through or break down the Ninja Turtles. And they just got to come up from under the sewer and let Raphael get close to him. And remember, he literally has his Psi, which is for close quarter defense. So he ain't even going to be able to get off of his little weapons and use all this stuff. So just Raphael alone will take out your guy.
Wow. So are you saying it's just Raphael versus Master Chief and not the other three? Judge Josh, you've heard. I'm kidding. I know for a fact you're saying it's all four of them. But you do have a good point.
I'm just saying. And you're
talking
just one.
Like, you're talking as if you've got experience of living in the sewer. I forgot. That you know this environment.
I've mentioned
really well.
This previously. Like I know a lot of plumbers.
You've had parties with plumbers. That's why I said, right?
No one parties like a plumber or a trucker.
Yeah, party with plumber. Party in the sewers with plumbers.com. You know, it's a new site. All the kids are going to. All right, Josh. Listen, you've heard 2 points from.
Wait, don't go on that website, kids.
Don't go on that website. Okay. That's a horrible. Horrible thing, Eric. You're a monster for suggesting it, by the way. Josh, you've heard 2 points from both myself and Eric. We're at the turning point. This is where you tell us who you think is ahead and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you gave me that freedom there because I've been kind of holding my tongue on a few of these things to let you guys elaborate further.
It was the sewer, right? The plumbers with sewers.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I've taken a bucket of slime and I've shot it with an airsoft gun and none of those bullets went through it. So
see what I'm saying? It's like New York slime we're talking about.
I mean, that sounds like a party. That sounds like a party, not going to lie.
The plumbers were there, so, you know, that's actually, we had the whole gang. It was great.
Best pay-per-view event.
Well, Mario and Luigi were there?
Yeah.
Those guys had a party, too. It's me, Mario.
All right. Wow.
I love it.
You're just going to keep me running. All right. To answer the question, to come back to reality, apologies. So the struggle that I have right now, or not really the struggle, is the scenes that you guys are painting in which this interaction occurs vary, not hugely as of right now, but they definitely vary. And the specific aspects that I'm waiting to be answered have not been answered yet. And to me, those are kind of the things that I think make or break this interaction.
Okay.
I am curious, do you want me to further elaborate on that? Or would you rather me continue into other things and just leave that one for y'all to find out?
I think you should tell us what you think, because this is a turning point. This is where you tell us who you think is ahead, but what the other side who's losing
perfect.
Has to do.
Okay, so the thing is Master Chief, he is very strong, he is superhuman, he is very fast, you know, he has Cortana, he has this armor on, things of that nature. However, in the game, for those of y'all that have played, once you have an overshield. Well, sorry, you don't have an overshield, you have a base shield, you can obtain an overshield, but that's a separate mechanic. But you have a shield over top of your armor that sort of prevents this damage. As soon as that shield is broken, you are now one shot, is what it's called. You're one hit away from dying, no matter what that might be, and that is dead. That is not knocked out. That is not anything. If you take it from the perspective of my legendary runs, that never happens, but it's a possibility.
Good self-esteem, by the way.
Thank you. And so that's my big thing, is that shield, while he has this shield over top, I think he beats the Turtles guaranteed. I don't think the Turtles have yet addressed how they're trying to get through that, how they're trying to access that, you know, his vulnerabilities. And that's kind of what I'm waiting on. I think that they could come up with a tactic. Thinking back to some old movies, some of the newer ones get pretty insane. They're fighting some crazy out of this world beings and monsters and factions and whatever it might be.
Oh yeah.
And so I know they can do it. And when it comes to that sort of leadership, unity, oorah, you know, the power of friendship, while it's kind of a joke, it's not a joke, you know, it does matter. And, Master Chief does have Cortana, but it's not quite the same. I will say one of the large aspects of that is it's a bit of a lonely road, and you kind of learn. You start to get attached to people, and then you start to regret doing so. So that's kind of where I'm at. It's the you know, the power of family. Shout out the Camaro SS and the, you know, it's piano. The power of family.
Who knew you had such a lovely singing voice, by the way?
It's about that Blue Oval, baby, that Ford family, baby, that Ford family, baby.
There we go, dude. I'm a Ram guy, but I digress.
All right.
That's my favorite.
We'll get into
choice.
That.
Wow, this answer's gone everywhere. Okay, so let me go back to this final point.
Yes, yes.
So the things that I'm curious about is whether the Turtles will have a plan of attack to get through the defenses of Master Chief and mm-hmm. get him into this vulnerable state, or not, because if not, Master Chief is, from my perspective, nearly unstoppable from everything I can imagine they have. Without you painting a scene, I think Master Chief wins, but I do think it's possible due to the nature of the many versus the one.
Yeah, he's like the James Gadsby of video games, is what you're saying.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. Specifically when I was trying to train jiu-jitsu and everyone said, you have to say this line or he's going to kick you out.
Listen, every school has its ways about it, its rules, and, you know.
To be fair, he does teach really good jiu-jitsu.
Thank you.
Yeah,
he does.
Outside of this, yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to get choked out to understand the power of a choke. That's all I'm saying. That's but you'll get better, Josh, and Eric's there, too. So we'll see what happens. Okay, so you've heard 2 points from both of us. You've given us the outline here. Let's see if Eric and I can follow up on that. Eric, hit us for your point number 3.
All right, yes. Let's get into this. I feel this is going to bring it home for you, Josh. So, how they've beaten better opponents and how they would get the win. Let's get into it. So, they face cosmic threats, okay? The Turtles have battled foes like the Triceratons, an alien race with advanced weaponry and brute strength, and triumphed through a blend of stealth, strategy, and Donatello's tech savvy genius, okay? In IDW comics, they even survive intergalactic skirmishes and emerge victorious against forces more dangerous than anything on Earth. Defeating the Technodrome, Krang's massive war machine equipped with dimension hopping capabilities and city leveling firepower, was ultimately neutralized by a Turtle team assault, okay? Leonardo literally led the charge. Donatello hacked its systems, okay? Do not forget about Donatello's hacking capabilities. And the others took down Krang's defenses piece by piece. Also, let's talk about overcoming enhanced Shredder, okay? Versions of Shredder have wielded alien technology or mystic powers, effectively turning him into a near superhuman threat. The Turtles still found ways to coordinate using Michelangelo's quick thinking and Raphael's raw aggression to counter Shredder's new powers, while Donnie and Leo handled tactical takedowns. So let's get into this. This is how I feel they will defeat Master Chief, all right, given all the stuff I just spit out there. First, it'll be their teamwork and distraction, okay? Raph and Mikey would engage Master Chief directly, drawing his fire and testing his defenses, all right? You touched on his defenses. While they're doing that, Leo maneuvers to keep the fight controlled. Next is back to Donnie being a hacker, okay? Meanwhile, Donatello uses hidden vantage points or remote device to tap into Master Chief's MJOL near...
Mjolnir.
Armor systems, leveraging his hacking prowess, similar to how he cracked alien technology, literally alien technology. He interfaces with Cortana's system, okay? Next will be a forced shutdown. Once he gains access, Donnie initiates a shutdown protocol. Master Chief's suit locks up entirely, leaving him immobilized. Even with advanced armor, if the user can't move, the advantage literally shifts drastically to the Turtles. By combining all the stealth, the coordinated attacks, and Donatello's mastery of technology, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles could easily neutralize even a super soldier like Master Chief. And that is all of my point number 3.
So I like the strategy. I like where you're going with that. There's one little problem, and this was in the Flashpoint animated movie. Based on the Flashpoint DC Comics thing. I am that kind of nerd. Don't give me that look, Josh. You've known this about me for years, by the way.
This is full intrigue. I'm locked in.
Here's the thing. So the Batman of that universe, who actually was Thomas Wayne, was looking at Professor Zoom, who's like an Evil Flash kind of villain, what have you. And Evil Flash is standing over Barry Allen and saying, you're dead, you're nothing, this is what happens. And all of a sudden, he gets shot through the heart from behind by this evil Batman who looks at him and says, you should never stand still on a battlefield. For Donatello, is it, or you mm-hmm. know, to hack in,
right?
It's not like he's fighting, hacking, and fighting. He's not hack fighting. while he's doing this, he would have to be in a safe spot with some equipment and doing that, staying still while Master Chief is taking on the other three Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And right. the problem is he's already used to taking on large groups of highly advanced people. And that's not even counting the fact that Cortana, who's been attempted to be hacked before, can detect stuff happening. And I have a funny feeling Cortana's advanced AI, because this weaponry is like, what, many years in the future compared to Donatello's somewhat advanced understanding of technology. I think she would absolutely be able, or I'm saying it, I'm gendering the AI. I'm saying Cortana would absolutely be able to detect it and stop it. And that's, again, if Donatello was like, had the time to set something up in advance. Remember, it's a random encounter in a neutral location with no previous knowledge that is about to happen. I don't think he has this big, huge computer with him, just walking with him to hack in and go. We didn't say he has a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle van, for example, which is a great accessory to get if you're a kid. But let me get to my point number three. Let's talk about just big wins
what
here.
What you got?
Yeah, here's the deal. So Master Chief's got, you know, he's single-handedly turned the tide against, what was it, the Covenant, you know, who had advanced tech and highly trained warriors as well, who I'm sure could give the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles a great fight. He's defeated the Flood. That's that parasitic threat capable of overwhelming entire planets and altering any living or once-living creature in a ruthless hive mind. He's taken them out. And Halo 4, I think he outmaneuvered and ultimately beat the Didact, if I'm not mistaken. And that's was an ancient forerunner, if that's the right word, of a warrior who had powers and resources that were like insanely high level. And then he's also an expert at multi-opponent. Like he's taking on multiple opponents everywhere he goes, like high-powered multiple opponents. This is something he does. He's great at. It's just something he can do. It's waves of super strong brutes, cunning elites, AI-controlled weapon platform, all coming at him, and he's like, got it, been there, done that, not a problem. And his armor, with that battlefield experience, make him adapt instantly. And this is the thing. It's a random encounter. So when you have four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, when they take on Shredder, they already knew about Shredder, right? They don't know what, you know, Master Chief can do. Master Chief, who's taken on this huge variety of opponents, multiple opponents, advanced tech. You think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are going to be like a surprise to him compared to everyone else? Just putting that out there. And that's not even counting Cortana kind of helping him out, giving him that data on a heads-up display, saying like, hey, these are just mutated turtles with stuff like a katana. Super strong, agile. You've already taken this on before. Here's how you're going to do it. You know, this is how he would do it. I think he would use a combination of his weaponry. He'd get, you know, he'd start far range, kind of get them unknowingly corralled into one spot. He's going to hit a mid-range. They're going to give him a heck of a fight, give him some damage and what have you, but in the end he's just going to overwhelm them. And what I do see happening, I don't see him killing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I see him messing them up real bad, where they're going to have to do a strategic retreat, something they've done before. Could they meet in a second encounter with already having experience and knowledge of Master Chief, where they can maybe catch him by surprise? Yeah, that's conceivable. But in a first time encounter where they have no idea what they're about to face and they're both going at it and it's, you know, both are at their peaks, I do think Master Chief has both the tech, fighting experience, and overall firepower to take out the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's my point number three.
Okay, yeah. So, got it. Are you really leaning in there with your Master Chief? Just back to the other battles that, you know, the turtles have had, you know, like this guy doesn't even have alien type weaponry and they've taken them out. So
that's actually a fair point, because it's all earth-based technology.
Exactly.
Right? It's not like magical alien stuff they've never seen from a culture they've never seen before. That is, I will give you that.
Yeah. So that's something that I'm telling you, these turtles, man, they're not to be messed with. So
that's true. All yeah. right. So let's see what the judge
For
has to
sure.
say. But before we get to what the judge has to say, let's just go over our kind of, you know, three most important points for each character or each group. Eric, what are the three most important points for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No problem. Got you. So first, remember, each turtle is an individual beast. Their training and weapons are second to none. And lastly, they have a clear way to get the win over Master Chief.
Very cool. All right, my top 3 points. You know, Master Chief is an enhanced version of Captain America. Just putting that out there. He's got super advanced weaponry and tech, as well as a powerful AI. And he's taken out way more powerful teams of opponents before and has a lot more fighting experience that mirrors exactly this type of random encounter who would win battle. Now, Josh, it's officially time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us the story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Master Chief and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Lay it on us, Josh.
Yeah, okay. So this is a tough one. Honestly, both of you guys gave me points where I was like, all right, I think I've got it figured out now. And then it moved on and I was like, oh, okay, maybe I don't have it figured out now. Which is, you know, kudos to you two for coming in hot with these heavy hitters at the end here.
Appreciate it.
But I'm having a hard time still. I think I know my decision, but it's not one that I am. I could see a world in which with a longer conversation I might change this, but as of right now, I think I'm leaning towards one of the two. Am I supposed to keep this waiting here? I should go back through my exposition now to really let it land.
Take us through your process.
Give it to us, Josh. What you got, man?
So here's the thing. The chance random encounter is one aspect that, even though you told me I had kind of fallen off of, I had gotten too far into these worlds that you guys were building for me, that I was like, okay, no, they've got a whole plan and they do have this bus and they do have this and blah, blah, blah. And Master Chief, he's coming in hot in a Hornet and he's got his squad behind him and things like that. But no, you know, it is a chance random encounter. I would say the biggest shift in my stance, I thought I was going to end up in the TMNT boat all the way up until James made the comment of, as they've done before, I think in the first encounter, the Turtles are going to make a strategic retreat, come up with a better game plan, and go back to attack later. From everything I've seen, I think that's every single story of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that I can think of. They've had an encounter in which they were like, oh my gosh, Shredder is now Super Shredder, or this squad is now this, or some sort of realization of this beast is a little bit too big, this bite is too big for me to chew, and now I've got to go rethink it. And then they go back and they beat everyone every time. But the thing is, and I was in that second battle. Eric, you brought me all the way into that second battle. I was like, they've thought this through. They worked it out. They've got them whooped.
Okay.
But to me, that's kind of where my stance is right now, is I think in the chance random encounter, Master Chief is incredibly strong, even while he might be limited to these, you know, the earthly weapons. You know, he's just using the USMC kit, you know, his assault rifle, his grenades and stuff like that. Although the sewer slime may be very, you know, a
it's,
very
it's
good
vicious,
ballistic, you know, protection.
Natural, yes. Ballistics. It's a armor. It's like an armor, like,
yeah. Eric certified. Uses his own slime to like create that coating of protection.
Yeah, that natural little glaze. You know what I'm saying?
If you want to walk me through the steps on how to develop that, I'd love
it's,
to.
It's a long process.
It's just many years of focus it's, training.
It should be patented, to be honest with you.
He is slippery. He is slippery in jiu-jitsu. Not going to lie, that may be. We may have figured it out. I'm sorry.
Am I? Okay, continue. So, Josh, like, don't forget all the hard-hitting facts I gave you. Like, Donatello could literally just, like, tap into this guy's whole defense system and just, like, neutralize it.
Yeah, because he's got all that equipment with him in a random encounter, by the way.
While he's dealing with his three brothers, he's super distracted, and Donatello can go to work.
He does have a point. Now, see, here's the question. Is it permitted for Donatello to have... Because he usually has some stuff
on him. He has gadgets on him.
He's got like a flicker thing, like an RFID scanner. He can rob Master Chief while they're fighting.
Get some card information off him.
That's what I'm saying. They've got some kind of crypto up there, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope so.
How else do you pay for the plumbers to come in the sewer?
That's what I'm saying. Right. That's where the party's at.
They're expensive.
I would say that's kind of the line that's really, I'm struggling a lot with, because I see in that second interaction, they have the time to prep. They have the time to get these gadgets and gizmos ready, the targeted ones, but... Does Donatello keep EMPs on him? Is that a known fact?
It can be researched, like, for sure.
So, which means you'd have to figure that out. I don't think that's part of his basic
kit.
You know, I do think he has communication tools. Given enough time, maybe he could create some kind of jerry-rig something. But it's what he has on him at any average time.
I would say the big thing that I'm having a hard time with is whether the Ninja Turtles would have the ability to break through the initial shield that Master Chief has on a chance random encounter. Whether that's something that they would be able to notice, like to recognize, and then to, you know, come up with a plan quickly on the fly and then, you know, execute. Now, can they come up with plans on the fly? Yes. Can they execute that same moment? Yes. So I've seen that. Now, do they have the tech? Probably. And in thinking about it, Master Chief, now, you know, this one universal thing, when you hit something with a shield, it starts to glow and fizzle. You know, you can recognize there is a field around them. So upon first contact from any weapon from the Turtles, they'd be able to recognize that there is some sort of shield, some sort of force field that they would need to disable. And obviously, as everyone knows, you know, to disable a force field, you need an EMP. And I'm thinking, you know, does Donnie have that?
He has access to that, yes. For sure.
Or at the very least, I will give you this. He does have the ability. Remember, I do think this takes place in New York.
Right.
So there's like, who knows, wiring and what have you. I do think he, I hate to say it, I do think he could come up with, could he make an EMP?
Or
I
make
don't
it
know.
In, yeah.
Could he come, but does he have raw materials to come up with something on the fly?
I wouldn't put it past
there's
him.
Wiring.
Yep.
There's some weird electrical stuff out
there.
Yeah,
we're talking Donatello here.
You know, the Turtles, James, I think they do pretty well under pressure, and if you're telling me that they're able to use the materials from around New York and they'd have the ability to sort of pull from the local environment to solve this issue, I think, in my opinion, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would win.
Let's go.
Okay.
Yes. So absolutely.
Eric, I want to say, first of all, congratulations on the win. This was well deserved. Here's the thing. I have to play these battles legit.
Of course.
And it's like, not only is it a random encounter, but you got to say, can they use their abilities to their fullest with the materials there? You know, in the John Wick versus Predator fight we just did, you know, the fight took place in New York. If that had taken place in the jungle, that would favor the Predator.
Right.
Right. But you got to kind of go with, even though it's a random encounter, how would this random encounter occur? I think it would be either in a New York City type of thing, or it's on some place where it's an advanced tech, but there's wiring, there's materials.
There's materials. I mean, like the subway systems, you know,
and
like,
look, could I have said, no, there's no way they could have made an EMP. The answer is no. I want to play this straight up. And I got to tell you, congratulations to Eric.
Thank you
for doing it the right way. Kudos to me for being that gracious.
No, well, kudos to you not knowing that I was going to win.
I did not know you were going to win. Like, I didn't think you were, but this is, I'm not upset with it. Sometimes I'm not upset with a loss, and you did a great job. With that being said, what a great judge we had today.
Yeah, Josh, way to really get in there.
WePlay is lucky to have you, by the way. by the way, fun show I want to pitch to WePlay. It's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus Master Chief. I don't know if we can get the rights to both.
Can I be Master Chief? I've been in my whole life.
Have you?
I don't know, maybe not.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I can, you can be Master Chief as long as I can be Batman, who somehow mysteriously shows up and just kind of like looks from the shadows. We're in. I'll get the financing for this. I'll get the rights. We're good to go.
Not that evil Batman
that shoots people. Yeah, no.
Not that one, to be clear.
No, clear. Not from Flashpoint. I'd be Batman from the animated. Sorry, I can't be Kevin Conroy. I'd be a version of Batman that's really cool.
Okay. Yeah. No. You can have that. That's
fantastic.
Cool. Well, I'm pumped. Let's go.
We have our next mega blockbuster tentpole event about to happen. Thanks to WePlay Studios. You heard it here first. Josh, you are amazing today. Thank you so much for coming on and being a judge for today's episode. Tell Legion of Violence, our fan base, where they can find you online.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for having me, James and Eric. It was a really great time being here. I appreciate it. It was a blast.
For sure.
If you guys want to check out more of what we're doing, what I'm doing over at WePlay with a team of many, many, many more brilliant folks, you can follow us at WePlay_studios on Instagram and on X and probably on LinkedIn as well and anywhere else. If you type in WePlay Studios, you will start seeing a Rolodex of many, many, many beautiful creations that might look like they come from different studios due to the wide range of expertise displayed. But let me tell you, it's all the same guys somehow. I'm impressed every day. Check us out at WePlay_studios.
Love it.
Very cool. WePlay, by the way, WePlay Studios, all joking aside, I'm not the one to predict this. They'll be doing some major films very, very soon. Stay tuned for that. All right, Eric, great job. Congratulations on a well-deserved win.
Yes, sir.
Tell your audience, your fan base, where they can find you.
Yes, on all platforms, I am at the THE, Eric with the C, Holmes. Let's connect, people. All right.
You, too, could be at a sewer party with plumbers. Go to Eric Holmes and enter your information to win a
once-in-a-lifetime invitation, the golden ticket.
Put plumbers in a sewer.
Come on down.
Have you ever been in a sewer before? I mean, and by the way, would you really want plumbers in there with you?
Hey, man, at least when your pipes burst, you know, you got access to these guys, you know what I'm saying?
I plead the fifth.
You plead the fifth?
I plead the fifth. I'm not talking about any players first.
Well, Josh, you were there.
That's why I'm pleading the fifth. No one went down. It can't be publicized.
Don't let them pipe burst on you now.
You're never the same. Yeah. I've never given you so many hugs. It was crazy. All right.
Where can we find you at, James?
You can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, not in a sewer with plumbers, on Instagram and Facebook by typing in at James Gads. You remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Eric Holmes, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.